Scott?
Don't look at me like that. Don't you do it. Don't you do it, Brent. I know I messed up.
Hello, I'm Brent.
And I'm Scott.
And this
is Strange Embers.
Just so everybody else is in on this look that I'm giving him right now, is we're running this back again. We were 16 minutes and 38 seconds in when Scott looks over and goes, OBS crashed. So we've been...
Actually, my exact wording was, you got to be freaking kidding me.
I thought it was hard drive crash, but...
Which has happened already once. I had an external hard drive crash and I lost everything.
And that's why I thought it was going to be that again. Because he was looking over to the side like, there's disaster going on right over here in this quadrant. But...
So, we're going to kick this back off. We're starting this off to be the month of October.
My favorite time of the year.
Halloween.
It's the spooky most time. Wonderful time of the year.
No, that's Christmas.
When the ghosts and the goblins are.
Ah, see what you did there. So, me and Brent talked about it for a little bit. And I'm kind of on board with it, as long as he's on board with it. We've got to do his second David Parker Ray has to be released. Once it's released, then it's going to be 50 State Haunts for October. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I like it. I love it.
And I think what Brent was saying he's going to try to go for, and I'll probably do the same, and we might bounce off of each other, is go for the most Halloween-esque.
Haunted places, Halloween-esque vibes.
Or Halloween stories.
Yeah, something. It'll still be just something. It'll still be the haunted 50 State Haunt, but more.
Right. Halloween-y.
Yeah.
Halloween-y.
So y'all don't even get to hear the joke that he told her. Like, he had me so good. Y'all don't even get to hear it because he didn't record it.
They don't get to hear it.
No, not at all. I mean, that's still, I'm not even telling no more. No, it's not the same now.
It was a good one. It made Brent actually genuinely laugh.
Yep.
Too
little, too late. Scott, spin the wheel.
Boo-da-boo, boo-da-boo, boo-da-boo. We have...
Hey, Louisiana. I know what it is. It's going to be Louisiana. I know what it is. I've already been here. I've already done this.
And I'm not even going to type it in because I've already typed it in once and I'm not doing it again. But it's there. Oh. Just so y'all know.
I really hope that y'all are enjoying this retake as much as I am because this is so funny.
It's not. It's really not. I had my whole story just about told. And now I got to start all over.
Yep. We'll jump into it.
All right. So I'm going to do the Sagamore Hotel.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, it is an island. I'm sorry.
It is an island. I'll be quiet. Yes. He has to throw that in there because the picture I saw of it, it's a gorgeous, phenomenal place. Picture I saw of it almost looked like a peninsula or a continuation of a land. However, it is not. It is an actual island on Lake George. It was opened in 1883. And it was built and financed by...
And if you're listening to this, if you're not on YouTube, go look at the picture of this place. It is magnificent.
Yes. Yes. It was financed entirely by a few of the Lake George residents. And it was built in a Queen Anne style. It is also protected by the National Register of Historic Places. Now, this hotel... Back in the 1800s was notorious for hosting very famous and influential clientele, I guess would be the best way of placing or stating that. The hotel was named after the Sagamore, which was a Native American character in the James Fenimore Cooper novel, The Last of the Mohicans, as well as several islands around Lake George that were also given names from characters that were in the book as well. With this resort being so amazing and phenomenal, it did have some downfalls. It had a bad luck with fire, I guess would be the best way of saying that. In 1893, 1895, and in 1914, the place caught on fire. 1893, it was due to a firework explosion. There's a little snippet here I'm going to put on screen. It reads, "Destructive firecracker causes a $100,000 fire at Lynn."
That's an Brent, expensive. That is an expensive firecracker.
Can you calculate that for me real quick? 1893 to today's money, $100,000. Just to get an idea. And while he's doing that, the snippet also says, "Sagamore Hotel destroyed and probability of one life lost." Actually, there was multiple lives, not just one. In 1895, there was also a life lost there. In 1914, another fire broke out. It stayed a wreck from 14 to 1921, where a bunch of investors wound up rebuilding it. And all of the investors actually stayed and oversaw the whole reconstruction of the resort.
I'm going to round up just a little bit. 3.5 million.
3.5 million. So a firework explosion caused $3.5 million worth of renovations. That's crazy. And what's even more crazy, when you look at this place, that probably wouldn't even cover a half of it.
No.
Probably a quarter, but that's it. If you're lucky. In 1913, the hotel continued to thrive for decades. I mean, after 1930 and on, it thrived through the Great Depression, and it kept rising. It was a gathering place for very wealthy tourists and residents of the famed Millionaire's Row, which is it's a straight line. If you want to look that up too, Brent, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal view. It's called Millionaire's Row. It's a straight line of massive mansions that are along Lake George's western shores. Now, in 1981, so from 1930 to 1981, everything was going great. 81, it had just its downfall. The hotel fell into despair. All of its great reputation just went down the drain, and it actually closed its doors that same year. Now, there was a few years past. I think it was 1983. There was a real estate developer, Norman Wolgan of Philly, who purchased the property and restored it, which it is now managed by Delray Beach, which is a Florida-based ocean property, which they purchased the resort in 2008. So you're probably wondering, Brent, and I kind of was too, yeah, there's been a couple deaths due to the fire, but what else would make this place haunted, right? Is it just the age of it? Because you know some of these places is... People say, oh, you have so many people that visit.
It's because it's a hotel. Every hotel is haunted.
Right. Well, you know what I was telling you about, Mr. Information?
It's a resort.
It's a resort. Mr. Information going down the rabbit hole, turning into misinformation? Yeah. So that... I got him again. That's what happened. I was trying to figure out why this place was haunted. And it was coming up with, I mean, absolute bizarre. I might as well have just asked ChatGPT why it was haunted, and it probably could have gave me a better answer than this. But did a little digging. So the Sagamore, I don't know if you knew this or not, probably not, but maybe you pieced it together in the time frame. It saw fighting during the French, British, and Native American time frames. So maybe that's part of why it's haunted. Some people say that when they built the house... slash resort, slash mansion, slash whatever the heck you want to call this place, because it's huge. Anyway, they say whenever the Sagamore was built, when they came in and flattened everything, they flattened over an Indian burial ground. So that's another way that they say that the hotel's haunted. They also say that there's some hauntings from some of the people that used to work there and politely off themselves.
So an Indian burial ground on an island.
That's what they claim. We look into tectonic plates, things start separating. You never know.
It's true.
You never know.
And is this a natural lake, or is it, you know, back then, or was this a reservoir?
No, it's a naturally formed lake.
Okay.
It's 10 to 15,000 years old, according to what research says.
Gotcha.
And it reaches nearly 200 feet in the deepest part, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah. So, old Nessie lives in that lake.
Maybe. Old Georgie.
So, we're going to start with some of the actual hauntings that people have noticed and what they're acclaimed for. Main hotel lobby. There's usually a woman in her early 20s. People who tend to see her standing on the open porch. She looks down to the lake, watching the boats flow in and out. She's seen in a lovely pinkish brown dress with dainty points of lace. Her name was Lillian. She was said to have stayed at the Sagamore during its first era. Also known to have visited the hotel with friends from Philadelphia to go boating in the calm waters of Lake George. Now, how she gets included into the hotel, I don't know. She didn't die there from what I could find. Unless Mr. Information turned into misinformation again, who knows? But
inside of the rabbit hole.
Inside of the rabbit hole. You never know. So we're going to go a little bit deeper into a darker side, which is called his name. This cat's name's Walter, who is a phantom. And he likes to frequent and visit the elevator closet to the concierge's desk. He likes to wear a brown three-piece suit and is described as a slender man with a thick mustache. He is seen most in the card room where the first floor rooms are. Now on the second and third floor, there is a man who wears a long black overcoat, and he is very frantic. He walks up and down the hallway pacing very fast, over and over again, and he'll disappear as he walks into a door. Sometimes he'll come out from another side. As he walked in the left, he'll come out the right side. He's also been seen in the halls at the spa. And some people have even said that all they can remember was seeing his shoes, because his shoes were so shiny, they looked like they had just been shined. So, shiny leather shoes. We're going to get to the maid here. The Sagamore had a hotel maid in the 1930s who was caught having an affair with a hotel guest, and she was promptly fired. She returned to the room to inform the guest that she had lost her job over their fling. And while she was there, his wife returned. The husband confessed to the affair to his wife, and she wrestled the maid to the floor. She grabbed a pillow, and she smothered her.
Wow.
He was stunned, and they left immediately, him not saying a word to avoid the wrath of his wife and the same fate as the maid. The maid was not found until the next morning, and it was assumed that she had died from a heart attack. The maid is still said to reside in the room, and her anger traps her there. She's believed not to be able to leave the second floor. Outside the hotel, the Sagamore's golf course is haunted by the spirit of a young boy killed by a car in the 1950s while chasing golf balls. He's well known for his pranks, including stealing golf balls and moving flags.
Very nice.
Now, there's one more story. This is a guest story. They stated, it's multiple people. It's two women. Two women were staying in the hotel. They ended up calling the resort soon after their stay with concerns. Their very first question was if the Sagamore Hotel was haunted. They had both seen a man in their room watching them and witnessed a ghostly child running through the end of the bed and into the room's bathroom. And that, sir, is the Sagamore.
So it's still open till today?
Correct, it is.
How expensive is it?
The Sagamore charges a $25 per room per night resort fee. which covers valet parking, Wi-Fi access, access to the fitness room, and even a 90-minute late cruise aboard the Morgan, the resort's 72-foot replica of the 19th century touring vessel.
Nice.
So, Mr. Brent, we know you've got a phenomenal story coming up, so I'd love to hear it.
Scott, have you ever heard of a man that goes by the name Dietrich Knickerbocker? K-N-I-C-K-E-R-B-O-C-K-E-R.
I can't say the name sounds familiar, no.
So, in 1809, New York City, there began to be signs plastered up on buildings, on anywhere they could put up a sign. It was being plastered up. It was in the newspapers. One newspaper of that was in New York City read, "A well-known Dutch historian, Dietrich Knickerbocker, had disappeared from his hotel." And the person that made this post in the newspaper also said, if Mr. Knickerbocker remained absent, that he's going to publish his manuscript that he had left behind. And with that being said, a couple of weeks goes by and he isn't found. So his book is published. And the book that was published was A History of New York from the Beginning of the World to the End of the Dutch Dynasty by Dietrich Knickerbocker. And it became a bestseller. That, unbeknownst to him at that point in time, Washington Irving, a famous author, was the father of viral advertisement, because Dietrich is not a real person. Dietrich was a pen name that Washington Irving wrote up under. And through this whole hoax, this whole shenanigan that he put out about this missing famous author, it had everybody up in arms about it. And as soon as this book was released by Dietrich, they were knocking down the doors. They wanted this book. They had to see what it's all about. So have you ever heard of Washington Irving?
I have.
So Washington Irving, for anybody else that does not know who he is, he would be the creator of a book called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So Sleepy Hollow is a little town, a little sleepy town, no pun intended. Just a little over an hour outside of New York City. So for anybody that's not familiar with, which I mean, pretty much everybody should be familiar with Sleepy Hollow by now, right?
You would think.
I'll give a real quick synopsis of the story. So the story is Sleepy Hollow. You're going to have a main character, Ichabod Crane. And the story of Sleepy Hollow was narrated by whom? Dietrich Knickerbocker.
Dietrich? Mr. Bocker, if you will.
Mr. Bocker. So this fictional character, Dietrich, he narrates the story. So this character that Washington Irving created, he was a historian of sorts, and whenever he would tell these stories, as in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, it's told as in Dietrich was in New York City and found out about this story through history and through looking things up. He told it as if it was a real tale. And so that began the legend of Sleepy Hollow to become what it did become. So for those that don't know, it's Ichabod Crane. He was a school teacher, tall, very slender school teacher that came to town, and the town was Sleepy Hollow. When Ichabod Crane comes to town, there is a girl in his class that he's infatuated with. She already has a love interest, I guess you would say. And his name was Abraham Van Brunt, but he went by Broombones. He was more of a jock type. They said he was good a very skilled horseback rider, just to kind of set the scene for what you're, for how the story goes. So Ichabod Crane, he portrayed himself as a good singer as well, and he would sing, and he would help give singing lessons. And not only that, he also loved to tell ghost stories and hear ghost stories. One night they have a party, and at this party they're giving the ghost tales, they're telling everything, and he hears about the legend of the Headless Horseman. So after
that's my favorite. That's my favorite legend.
After Ichabod leaves the party, as he's riding back home, he sees a figure in the distance, and he calls out to him, "Who is this?" The figure does not answer him, and he notices whoever this is on the horse doesn't have a head.
You know why he couldn't answer?
Why? Tell me why. Because
he didn't have a head.
So from there, Ichabod knows the story. He has to outrun the horseman, because the horseman comes out every night looking for his head.
If he can't find his head,
he's going to take some bodies.
There you go.
So the next day, Ichabod does not show up. Nobody can find him. But close to the bridge by the cemetery, they see Ichabod's hat on the ground with a smashed pumpkin. Nobody knows what happened to him. Somebody came back from New York City, and they told him that Ichabod had fled Sleepy Hollow, went back to New York City. He became a lawyer and a judge and had a successful life there. But the people of Sleepy Hollow did not want to believe that, and they believed that he was taken by the horseman.
Well, you know what they say about the smashed pumpkin every time the Headless Horseman came out, right?
What?
Every time there was a smashed pumpkin, the Headless Horseman claimed another head.
Correct, because
that
he's looking.
That was his symbol.
Mm-hmm. Because he was looking for his head. If he could find his head, then it would break the curse and he could go on about his business.
That's it.
With this tale being told, what's the history of the Headless Horseman? Do you know any of that?
I don't know the actual history. I just know the story / legend. That's all. I don't know the true history now.
So Washington Irving, being from Sleepy Hollow, when he wrote this tale, there was some truth to the names that he used. So the names that were used, one of them being Ichabod Crane, he was a real person, but he was not this tall, lanky, slender guy that was a school teacher. Ichabod Crane was actually a colonel in the military. He was born July the 18th of 1787. He died October the 5th of 1857. He was a military officer. He served for 48 years, and he reached the rank of colonel in the army. His name, he was born in Elizabethtown, New Jersey. He was buried Staten Island, New York. So he was from the area up there. He knew the name. Now, as far as Ichabod Crane, and that's his picture up there that you can see. Mm-hmm. As far as he goes, he had nothing to do with this story. It was just this name. It was given that Washington Irving just knew the name. He used it. Now, the Headless Horseman. Is there any truth to the Headless Horseman part of it? Let's go into that just a little bit, shall we?
Joke's on everybody. It wasn't the actual rider who was headless. It was the horse that was headless.
It was.
See, everybody pronounces it the Headless Horseman. What if it's the Headless Horse, man?
So now for the Headless Horseman part of this. So we're going to go back to the 1700s. So in the 1700s, we were having a little war. Do you remember what war we had at that point in time? We was having a little American Revolution, Revolutionary War.
Well, I didn't know if you were talking about here in the States.
Oh, I'm talking about, okay, I wasn't specific.
You got to be specific because the Great Northern War also took place,
So we're talking
Russia
about
and Sweden.
So we're talking about here. in the United of the States. Have you ever heard of the Hessian mercenaries? So during the Revolutionary War, the British actually brought in, they were called Hessian mercenary fighters. There were better than 30,000 Hessians came to fight. Those were German fighters that came over with the British to help them fight. Well, during this time, of this time of when they were fighting the Hessians as well, this is when the great, you do remember the famous Washington, George Washington picture where he's standing up in the boat and they're crossing the icy Delaware River.
Correct, yes. So, that is a very known image.
All right, so we're talking about the same time frame of then.
Okay.
So the battle that we're speaking of, though, had nothing to do with him crossing the Delaware, but same thing. They were fighting the Hessians at that point in time. So in 1776, Washington, he had recently suffered a crushing defeat in the Battle of Long Island, and they were in full retreat. He ordered his troops to prepare for a hasty defense near White Plains. It was a small settlement on the northern outskirts of Manhattan. And there, on the eve of Halloween, the American forces engaged in combat with the forces of the British and the Hessian soldiers. The Hessians led the assault. They were gung-ho, let's get after it. So after several hours of them fighting, Washington's troops broke contact and fled away. They left an estimated 50 dead American soldiers on the battlefield. After several days, as opposing armies continued to clash in the New York countryside, Lieutenant Ephraim Fino, he assumed command of the Lone Artillery Battery on top of the hill overlooking White Plains. So according to the journal of the American General William Heath, Lieutenant Ephraim Fino, he fired a single cannonball at the Hessian troops that were coming at him. And that one single cannonball made contact with a soldier riding a horse with his head and decapitated him. It also killed a horse, and it effectively ended the assault that they were pursuing. That is the supposed to be the true account of what happened in that battle that began the legend, and that's where Washington Irving came up with the Headless Horseman. It's the horseman of the Hessian soldier that had his head blown off. So when he rises, the whole legend goes, if he can find his head, it'll break the curse. If he can't find his head, he will take somebody else's.
There you go.
So in the little town of Sleepy Hollow, everything that he writes about is pretty much there. If you look through those pictures I dropped for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the bridge, if you look up under that picture of Ichabod Crane.
Yep. That's the wooden bridge.
That's the bridge. That's the Headless Horseman Bridge. That's the current bridge. If you go down to the next picture, that's the only known picture to exist still of the original Headless Horseman Bridge.
No kidding.
Yep. That's it right there. That's the bridge that you see in that second picture.
It's what it says.
It's the spot.
Thought to be the only photograph in existence of the original Headless Horseman Bridge in North Tarrytown, made famous by Washington Irving and his legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yep. If you go down one more time, there's the headstone of Washington Irving. And I have many more pictures I sent to you in email that you can drop through the episode.
But, sure.
That is the quick summed up version of the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
I love Sleepy Hollow and the Headless Horseman, both of them. I love both stories.
So this is that time of the year where Sleepy Hollow, they love this time of the year there. I think I've had pictures in there, but there's a lot of people. They put Headless Horseman stuff up and, you know, all over the place up there, obviously, but they really go all out for Halloween. And I do want to give one honorable mention to New York, because this was hard not to do this one also, but I really wanted to talk about Sleepy Hollow. Wings Castle is 75 miles north of New York City. It is in Millbrook, New York. Wings Castle is a place that you can go and stay. They have some themed rooms, one of them being the dungeon. It's a bed and breakfast. I wanted to just honorable mention that one because you need to go to the website and look at it. You need to go to the website and look at this place. It's amazing. So with that said, everybody, that was my summed up fast tell of Sleepy Hollow and of Sleepy Hollow, New York. And if you're up that way, go by, see the Bridge of the Headless Horseman. So I guess without any further ado, we will see y'all very soon.
Louisiana.
Louisiana. Until then, everybody always remember, you have to make it across the bridge at night.
Or he'll take your head.
Good night, everybody.